Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hanging out with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
We are good. Cannot complain. Edrin Cooper won his second NFC Player of the Week of the Year. Thank you. There it is. That makes sense. Player of the Week of the Year. Wait, it was like Chewy when he wanted to do the word of the day of the week.
Correct.
Is it getting to the point, Jason, where you think he needs to be on the field at all times? I mean, obviously you have to spell players occasionally, but do we need to see more snaps from him at this point?
Yeah, I'm curious how they're going to use him on Monday night now, because it sounds like Quay Walker will be out. And so how does he fit into their plan? Because he has been a rotational player. He's done this in two games now where he played 30-plus snaps, not 50-plus snaps that he's won this award. So, again, I think we've heard them on a couple of occasions, the coaches, talk about, you know, the rookie growth that he is undergoing, which is a kind way of saying that he screws up when he's out there sometimes too. But he's such a dynamic player that they obviously are wanting him on the field. The question is he ready for that much? And is he going to be as effective if you're playing him 59 snaps instead of 35? I'm eager to see what they choose to do, but it seems to me that what they're doing right now is working pretty well.
Jason, I see Jordan Morgan is out for the year. How thin are they at offensive line?
Yeah, I don't think they're real deep, right? I mean, and look, when they had to bring in a guard to fill in, they brought in Kadeem Telfert, who is really a tackle and had never played before this year at all. They kept him all year last year on the practice squad. So they don't have a lot of proven depth. They don't have that but Bruce Wilkerson guy to come in and fill in. And so, you know, they have been very fortunate, and knock on wood, they will continue to be, with their health on the offensive line. They've had one guy miss one game. That's it. And that was obviously Josh Myers, and they just juggled things, and they had Jordan Morgan available at the time. So, yeah, they're not particularly deep. And while we're all kind of looking at the Detroit Lions and writing them off because of all the injuries they've had, the Packers comparatively have been extremely fortunate. And you just hope that that continues through the final three regular season games and into the playoffs.
Jason, have you been watching Enigma?
Nope.
Did you happen to see the clip that was going around social media yesterday? We have it. But this was, I wanted, just curious if you hear what everybody else heard from this clip from Matt LaFleur in Enigma.
I don't think a lot of people, at least in our camp, thought that Jordan would have been there when we were picking, and the opportunity presented itself, and it was an opportunity that Ted Thompson thought was too good to pass up.
We're all surprised that Green Bay traded up to take Jordan. What do you think?
There was a name there that that Matt LaFleur said that I don't know has necessarily ever been linked to Jordan Love. Did you know that it was Ted Thompson who was pushing for Jordan Love to be drafted?
Is it possible he just misspoke?
I suppose.
I think we need to ask him.
Yeah, but it's worth clarifying, is it not?
Yeah, that makes no sense whatsoever. So I will I'll ask their PR director about this today when I'm at Lambeau, because that, I mean, Ted, that's 3 years that Ted had been out of the mix. And I believe he passed away in 21.
Yes. Less than a year after the selection.
And my understanding was his health challenges had gotten appreciably worse. So I am going to assume and then verify that that is Matt LaFleur misspeaking, but I've never heard that. Boy, I'm really missing out not watching that thing.
Well, I mean, that's about the only thing I found really interesting, Jason. I mean, you lived most of the other things that were that were talked about in Enigma, so I don't know if you're missing much.
Are we following the rule that Aaron set forth on Pat McAfee when we're talking about him? Have you guys stated your vax status before you continued to discuss him? Have you done that?
I'm going to quote the great Mark Chmura when I answer this and say, he doesn't run my life.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2024, man. Like, of all the things to still be harping on, like,
who cares?
Well, Jason,
what are we doing here?
Some of us are on the record as disliking the guy before 2020. So I feel real good about continuing that. You know, I didn't like you before 2020. So it has nothing to do with his vax status. Gabe found an article on, I believe it was Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
You said it graded all of the positions.
So it's got it ranks all the offensive lines. It has the Packers' offensive line as the sixth best in the league.
Which prompted Gabe to ask us this morning in our production meeting, is that the best unit top to bottom that the Packers have?
Hmm. I thought I saw on Sunday Night Football when Chris Collinsworth promotes his ownership of Pro Football Focus, but they have Josh Myers as the 31st center?
That could be possible, although this says that he has a 77 PFF pass blocking grade, placing him third among centers.
Yeah. Pass blocking.
Yeah.
I don't know what his run blocking grade is. But yeah, look, I think they've got a really good offensive line. I go back to where we started and say, I hope it stays healthy, because if you, generally speaking, if you have built your team effectively and all five of your starters stay healthy, then you probably have a pretty good offensive line, right? I mean, it's impressive that the Vikings lost Darrisaw, went and acquired Robinson from the Jaguars, and have really largely not missed a beat, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lions, when they were susceptible on the offensive line, was when Taylor Decker was sidelined and they had Skipper playing, who caught a touchdown, I think, last week. You know, the Packers, if they stay healthy, there's no doubt it's one of their strongest positions. I think that group has played really well. What has Jordan Love been sacked, like 12 times or something like that?
It's low.
And you look at, you know, now, as Josh Myers and Sean Ryan both said to me last week when I was talking to them about this, Josh Jacobs makes us look really good. So they may not always get their blocks where they need to be for Josh Jacobs, but Josh Jacobs makes it look like they blocked it up pretty well. So they are a good offensive line. I think six sounds about right. Whether or not you see them as their best their best position group, you know, I think it probably depends on how much confidence you have in that wide receiver group and the lack of a number one, but everyone contributing. So, if you said to me that's their best position group, I would have a hard time refuting it.
Jason, when Musgrave gets his feet under him, you think they'll go back to splitting time, or is Kraft going to be the guy?
No, Kraft's the guy.
He's the guy.
I mean, and the question that I would have is just, what will Luke Musgrave's playing time be? Because as we've heard Matt LaFleur talk about, one of the challenges is obviously, and this is something that I was hoping to explore with him a little bit more. He kind of said after the game on Sunday night about how, I don't want to say stressful, I don't think he used that word, but the challenge of trying to get everybody involved. And I just thought that was really interesting that he just publicly admitted that. And there was also a reference to it on the telecast from their production meeting with him. So that's one thing I'm, you know, because these guys love to say it's a good problem to have, but it doesn't change the fact that it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you add Luke Musgrave to the mix, and I'm assuming during his time on IR, his blocking didn't improve significantly, right?
Yeah.
So that's what allowed Tucker Kraft to rocket ship past him. So do I think that Luke Musgrave is still very much in their plans? Yeah, sure. But I do think he's got some work to do, because the reason why he lost his favored status, because look, we saw it in training camp, right? We can't blame this on his ankle injury that he suffered in the fourth game of the season. Like, you guys heard me when I would talk to you guys during training camp. Gosh, you know, last year all we could talk about was Luke Musgrave, and now we're not talking about him at all. And it's because he did not make a huge leap in his blocking.
Well, you mentioned the blocking. Is that a big reason why Dontavian Wicks's snaps have gone up? Is because they trust him so much in that run game?
Mm-hmm. And it's why they've basically said, look, we think, because they love Heath in that role too, but Heath is limited as a pass catcher. And so he was the odd man out on Sunday, and he was inactive, but it leaves them with more roster flexibility too, that Wicks has elevated himself that way. And he apparently does a very good job of dropping his block before he gets called for a holding penalty, after all that criticism he was getting for dropping passes. And he's also catching the ball better, right? And so he's earning his opportunities. I just, you know, I was not sure what to make of his kind of struggles at midseason, because I know how much the coaches want him on the field. And if he's blocking well, that's giving him more opportunities to be out there and continue to earn that trust back.
Are they off of Melton, Jason?
No, I don't know how many snaps he played in Seattle, but you know, he was out there. I mean, obviously he's the fifth.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a gap between four and five. But no, I think the thing about Bo is just there, you know, the skill set for him isn't so different. You know, you look at Dobbs and his strength as a pass catcher in the shorter areas as a possession guy. You look at Watson, and we know what he does. We know what Wicks can do off the line of scrimmage, and we certainly know what Reed can do with kind of his diversified abilities. And you know, other than being really fast, I just don't think Bo has anything that really distinguishes him from the other four. He's the guy that, though, again, when you have an injury, I mean, that's a pretty darn good fifth option. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even remember who the fifth options were on some of your teams. Like, I don't want to be picking on Terry Mickens, but anytime Terry Mickens had to play offensively, you knew that you guys were probably going with the ball elsewhere.
So speaking of Bo Melton, last night on Weekly Wager at Pottawatomie Sportsbook, Greg Matzik said that by the end of this game against the Saints, he sort of expects to see Malik Willis and Bo Melton, and obviously the guys who usually are on the bench out there on the field, because he believes it will be such a blowout. Do you see the game shaking out that way as well? Maybe not necessarily with some of the backups on the field, but that this is an opportunity for the Packers to put together a solid four quarters and step on the proverbial throat. And
play only three quarters.
Yeah, and then so play only three quarters and have, you know, your backups in the fourth quarter. How do you see this game shaking out? The line now 14.5 Packers favored.
Yeah, and Tausch starting Green Bay game nights.
The
2 minutes into the third quarter. I'm always leery of double-digit spreads on NFL. I am not a wagerer. I would not put money on a game, but I am very leery.
Is this because of San Diego, because they were 12-point favorites?
I don't see any way the Packers lose this game. I tested that out against Jacksonville Green Bay game day, if you recall.
I do.
Just to see if it still worked. And when Evan Engram caught that touchdown and Jair went hobbling off into the sunset, I was like, oh my God, it's going to happen again. So I am not going to say that about this game, just out of responsibility for Packers fans not to cause any damage to their season hopes.
You have heard me talk about Jason. Thank you so much. I just started reading her read.
She just started doing her read.
See you, Jason.
I just started doing my read and was like, wait, I haven't said goodbye to Jason yet. Jason Wilde is on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. You have heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. just a moment ago, actually. We have enjoyed having them help us with our home projects. We're not the most handy people, and it is such a relief to know that when we have a home project pop up, we can call our friends over at PCI. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your project. Congrats to PCI for celebrating their 20th anniversary this past summer. You know what? You can't stay in business for 20 years unless you're doing a dang good job. Learn more about PCI at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. And tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.